Okay, we're in Kuftesvav, continuing Halacha Aleph. Today we're going to talk about what we call Chol Stam. We're going to do a big chunk today. Unfortunately, there's too much here to fit into our regular time slot. So I'm going to cut down, and if anybody wants to hear the more details, we'll talk later. Okay, to start, we have to remind ourselves where we were last time and continue from there. Which was last time we mentioned the Machlokes Pre-Chadash and the Chasam Sofer as to whether the Takana of Chol Yisrael means that a Yid has to actually watch it. Is the Takana of the Yid must watch it or do what counts for that? Or the Chacham were just telling us, make sure you're getting kosher milk, and if you have other ways, you know, from the regular rules in the Torah of how you could figure these things out, Chazakas and all kinds of things like that, that works. And based on that, the Pre-Chadash said, Pre-Chadash is Mikkel, he said, if it's not financially viable and there's no trade animals around, then you know the guy didn't put in trade milk, and you're okay, you could treat them. Okay, so the Pre-Chadash, I may have mentioned last time, says that the Radbaz says like holds like him. He brings the Radbaz. The Chasam Sofer, to support himself, brings a Kesem Mishnah who says like him, and a few places that the Ramah is Maduik to say like him. And it's also, the Pre-Chadash himself says, I'm right about what I'm saying, but all the parts can disagree with me. Okay, so you think about what you know, trying to think like, you know, putting the names on the different sides here. He says, he's like, you know, but everybody else disagrees with what I'm saying, but I'm really right. Okay. In the later Paiskim, the many of them, if you count the numbers, most of them say like the Chasam Sefer, Chacham Sodom, Darach Shulchan, Sakan Aaron, it's a true from a Sefer written between the two world wars, Tzemach Tzedek, and the Minchas Alazar, and the Chalkas Akal, all these Achonim are say like the Pre-Chadash. They also, a number of those names that I just mentioned, say another thing, which is, you know, doesn't really make a difference whether the Pre-Chadash or the Chasam Sofer is right in theory, but Chazal like Takanas, they have hidden reasons behind the Takanas. They tell us one reason why you have to do it, and there are other hidden reasons. And so even if we cover the revealed reason, we now know that it's kosher milk, but the hidden reasons why it might be aren't being covered, so we can't do anything without the Chazal, which is a variation, not really the Chasam Sofer, but a variation. Okay, in contrast to all of that I just said to you, the Chazanish says that the din is like the Pre-Chadash. Okay, the Chazanish in the Sefer says that the Pre-Chadash is right. He mentioned all these names I just gave to you, but he says the Pre-Chadash is Batsam, right? And you could be Mekel. Now, Rav Ozner brings in his Tshuvas that before the Chazanish printed his Sefer, the Chazanish came over to him, they both live in Bnei Brak, and Chazanish came over to him and said to him, what do you think about this thing that I'm about to say? Okay, what do you think that I'm about to say? And my raya is that the Pre-Chadash is right. And Rav Ozner tried to convince him that he was not correct. Okay, he told him why his rayas were not so good, and blah, blah, blah. But now that's how Rav Ozner leaves the conversation off, as if he won, but of course we all know that in the printed Sefer, it says Chazanish obviously didn't buy it. The Sefer was printed afterwards. He said he told me this before he printed the Sefer. And you may also know, you probably have heard that, the Chalkas Yaakov, a Rav in Europe, said that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik went to the Chazanish and asked him if he really was Mekel, and the Chazanish gave him a response that gave the impression that he was not Mekel. Okay? So to that, though, as to what the Chazanish held, I'll tell you that Rabbi First says he doesn't accept any of these ideas of what the Chazanish held. And he says he's a raya from the Chazanish himself. The Chazanish, in his siman about shiurim, brings that Shulchan Aruch Rav says a certain shiur, which is in line with what the Chazanish held, says a certain shiur, and people, a whole bunch of Sfarim afterwards, report that Shulchan Aruch Rav changed his mind, and really he was more makel afterwards, he changed his mind about what he held, and the Chazanish says, we don't accept those reports, even though they're from reputable people. I mean, the big people who said that, because if the person wrote a Sefer, and he changed his mind, in the next printing, he should have adjusted what it said in the printed Sefer. The Sefer was printed again after, while he was still alive, so why didn't he change it? Why didn't he change what it said afterwards? LMI, if he didn't change it, that's because he really holds that's what it is, and we don't know what to say with the stories, but the printed Sefer says like this, that's what he holds. So Rav first says, the Chazanish, if that's what the Chazanish said about somebody else, we say the same about the Chazanish. The Sefer was printed many times in his lifetime, and Mamela, it says in the printed Sefer that he was Mako, and everybody else who said that he really didn't mean it, he didn't say it, you know, the story with the Moshe Soloveitchik, he made a joke. He didn't say I didn't hold it. He made like a joke about it. So, whatever he held, so Rabbi Fur says the Chazanish was Mako. Which is what it says. You open the Sefer, that's what it said that he was Mako.
My father was in America in 1947.
Your father, okay. Follow him, okay.
Of course, the Chazanish, we met Chazanish, and at a trip, and he said he suffered because of the milk. Chazanish said he didn't have to suffer for the milk.
He didn't have to suffer. You couldn't have hooked, you see. Yeah. Okay, so here we go. Now we'll put it, we'll write down the next thing. But I'm going to say it like this. Okay, so anyway, that's what it is. So
nobody blames Brock. People are so good. You find groups of people that appeal to the initial.
They don't take
Chazon.
They don't take Chazon.
What? I know it's not going to be. No, this whole time. This whole time. Yes, yes.
That's called choking.
Yes, that's called choking.
It's an important product.
That's called choking.
Okay, so
it's made there.
Okay, so. So. It's available.
So, and made with Hebrew language.
So on the simplest level, if we want to know if you could drink milk in the United States without it's not called Yisrael, could you drink milk? The simplest answer is it depends whether you pass on to Bichol or you pass on to Chasam Sofer. Pass on to Chasam Sofer, you can't eat it. You pass on to Bichol, you could eat it. I'm getting there. Give me a second. I told you, I'm talking about Cholos Tam.
What are you talking about? For 1 week.
So that's what you would think. That's on the simplest level, you would say the Chazanish, according to the Chazanish, it's Mutter, according to the Chazanish, the Pichadish, it's Mutter, according to the Chasam Sofer and all those other names that I told you, it would be us. That would be the simple way. And plenty of people say that. That's what I'm saying to you. There are plenty of people who say, the Chasam Sofer says it's us, and that's the end of the day. Okay. But all of that changed when in the span, if you look at the tshuvas, in the span of about 3 months, Ramosha wrote three tshuvas to the same person, a person named Rabbi Huda Dick. He wrote three tshuvas to the same person, in which he completely turned that upside down. Okay, he changed what everyone's thinking it until then. Today, we're going to talk about the first two of those tshuvas, which are very interconnected. And the third tshuva, which is really is lesser known, but is really very negated to us, the third tshuva, even probably more controversial in my mind than the first two, the third tshuva, Mr. Shom, we can explain. Okay, but today we're going to talk about just the first two, which is the parts you've probably heard before, the more famous parts of what Ramosha says. And that is, Ramosha wants to say that the Chasam Sofer would agree, even the Chasam Sofer would agree that in America you could drink milk that's not Chol V'Shol. That's the overall point that he's trying to make is that don't think it's dependent on this machlokes. Even the Chasam Sofer would be makel because maybe they didn't like the Chasam Sofer. But it's not a game. Even the Chasam Sofer would be makel. How can he say that? Where would that come from? That the Chasam Sofer would be makel. So he says, let's accept that the Chasam Sofer says that it's a takana that the yid has to watch the milking. If we look in the procedural rules, Hilchos Eidos in the Torah. There are many dinim that require a person to see something, but when that din says you have to see it, it doesn't mean you have to eyeball it. You don't have to actually watch it happen. There are many, Marmosha means a bunch of examples, I'll give you some. It means a bunch of examples where the Torah says you have to see something happen. The Eidos doesn't happen unless you see it, but in truth, you don't have to see it. In truth, it could work even if you don't see it. For example, the Gemara says that when a person, very appropriate for sitting here at the Bezin Skype. The din is that for a person to become a ger, the bezin has to, among the things that have to happen, the bezin has to see the person go to the mikvah. Okay, the bezin has to watch the person go to the mikvah. Tarsus says in Yevamos, in one explanation, that if there are situations where the bezin does not actually physically see the person go to the mikvah, they know that it happened. How they know is not important to us. They know that the person went to the mikvah, and the bezin knows that they went to the mikvah, the person's a ger. The ger is good. What happened? The din is that a bezin has to see the person go to the mikvah. Doesn't make a difference. Okay, and Rabbi Shimon brings many riyas like this, that what we call a yediyah b'loy riyah, there are ways that a person could know something without seeing it, and that level called yediyah b'loy riyah, what Rabbi Shimon calls it, it's an anan sahadi, where you literally, anan sahadi, it's almost like, in the English words of it, anan sahadi, we're the edim. I mean, even though we didn't see it, we all can testify that it happened, and that's good enough for dini hatar. Rabbi Shimon brings a number of examples from Hilchos Ishus, and here's Hilchos Gerus, and Hilchos Mamonis, it means a bunch of different riyas, that these kind of things work, and therefore, and that's how it works, and therefore, Ramosha says, in America, that the government oversees the dairy industry, the government requires that people only use cow's milk, people only use cow's milk and not other milks, that gives us the anan sahadi that the milk we're getting is in fact cow's milk, and the mela, we can be sure that we're getting cow's milk. So even though the din is you need a yid to watch it, it's true, the yid has to watch it, but this counts, that this is also considered, not that he didn't physically watch it, but it has the same level in a best, and this would be considered that the yid watched it, and that's good enough. So it's considered Chol V'Shol. Right, so now, in order to distinguish what Ramosha is describing, versus the traditional Chol V'Shol, people made up a term. Ramosha doesn't use this term, a term called Chol Stam. Right. We call this Chol Stam to distinguish why it's not that different from the lamer's milk that we buy, the traditional kind. But according to our Moshe, it is Chol Yisrael. Yeah, it's the Chacham said you have to have Chol Yisrael. The Chazal surface says that means is you have to actually have a Yid watching it. Don't just figure it out. Our Moshe says yes, and it is Chol Yisrael, so to speak. It is Chol Yisrael. Okay, so in just structurally, our Moshe has there are two parts to what our Moshe said. Okay, there are two parts to what he said. One is the government oversight creates an Anatzahadi. The government oversight makes us convinced that the milk we're getting is on cow's milk. That's step number one. Second is, that level of yediyah is good enough to make it Chol Yisrael. Okay, those are really two steps there. Okay, it's not one step, it's two steps. It's not that the government oversight lets us drink it. Government oversight gives us the beer of the Anatzahadi that it's good. And now, we use that as the proof that we're allowed to eat the Chol Yisrael. Okay,
is there a requirement that in the government it could only sell cow's milk?
Yes. Yes, it's in all states and all that federal government that milk, but you said, of course, generically milk, it has to be the mammary excretion of a bovine, whatever, from a cow. It has to come from a cow. In the United States, that's the law.
In Canada.
You can't sell camel's milk.
No, you can sell it. It's called camel's milk. If you want to get something generically, it's milk.
Something not goat's milk.
It's not goat's milk.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So, I'll mention it now. I can't repeat it as many times as he does, but in every single tshuva, in every single tshuva that Moshe talks about Chol Yisrael, about Chol, what we call Chol Stam, in every single tshuva that he talks about it, he ends up by saying, even though I think that it's mutter, okay, even though I believe that it's mutter, a Baal Nefesh, or someone who's more particular and careful about his Shmiras and Mitzvahs, should not rely on this and should use the traditional Chol Yisrael, eat it that way, and he talks about yeshiva spending extra money on it, all kinds of things like that, and it's, so, even though he's saying that it's mutter, every time he says that it's mutter, he said, but don't forget, at the end it always says, but don't forget, if you have a choice, and even if it's a little difficult, you should eat Chol Yisrael. Okay, yes. Okay. You forgot about it. I answered your question. There we go. Okay.
There's no difference between one mixture of milk, of a cow's milk, and any milk, right? Goat's milk would go into the same getter,
yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes, goat's milk also is Chol Yisrael. Yes, that's correct.
How far is that different from Yetzer and Nichtav? Yetzer and Nichtav is also the same concept, basically. He's not eyeballing, he's not seeing it.
So, unfortunately, he had a chassid this week. But Tyson says, no, unfortunately for this, to answer your question, Tyson says that even though you didn't have Re'iyah, since you were able to see, that's what Chacham meant. When the Chacham said you have to see, they didn't mean you should see them, you should be able to see. They're understanding that you're actually seeing it. Eli didn't physically, that counts as if I saw it. So this is even very different. In this, no one has even possibility of seeing it. You're sitting at home, and they're milking it, you know, 100 miles away. Okay.
Those people would say that it was only matter b'shas al-char in America at that time, and today he wouldn't matter.
Okay, they're entitled to say that. The things that he says would explain the Shemot today also. But what you're saying is the other side of it, which is, but if you're real Baal Nefesh, it should be Makbid.
No, it's not Baal Nefesh. That's clearly the Jew. They're saying today, when it's easily available from Israel, you would not be Makbid.
So I'm saying is that's.
You didn't clearly say that. He would say that it's Mutimir Adin, but nobody should be reading the Sayyid Quran because you can get Baal Nefesh. That's what they say.
Okay, so the in the balance of it's really Mutter versus it's better to eat the other one. Nowadays, he would have leaned more heavily onto the you should not eat.
And then in the 80s, it wasn't available everywhere.
Okay, so
yes. I'm just not going to say.
Okay. They can say whatever they want. They can say what they want.
They didn't live in the Hospitals.
That's a separate
okay, so now,
in New York or in Chicago. Or
okay, so now in New York, those who disagree with Ramosha, there are many, as you of course know. Many of the people who disagree with Ramosha don't disagree in a formal way. They just say is, some sort of said you have to have you watching it, that's it, you have to watch it. Okay? So, but of the people who wrote it, the truth is that the Chalkas Yaakov is the one who wrote the most extensive tshuva and really directed right at what Ramosha says. He's almost like point by point on what Ramosha says. He's the most really written on the point. There are others who spoke about it, and most people just say, well, the Chassam said you have to watch it, that's it. They close their ears to it. Others, but the Sakov is the one who has the most direct discussion on what Ramosha said. So, I said to you, Ramosha has two parts. One is that the government oversight creates an Anansahadi, and the second is Anansahadi is good enough to make the milk Chol Yisrael. So, in the first part, onto the first part of does the government oversight create this Anansahadi? I didn't see anybody in print arguing on the detail. Does their oversight really do it? Although there are plenty of people who are not so comfortable saying that the government does such a great job to make this. Who's
in the matter? The matter.
Okay. Well, okay. And the Chalkas Yaakov does say, but he says, you know, government makes their decisions as to whether something is real or not. Is it really milk or is it not milk? Through sampling and testing. And he says what would be if a yid would do that? What would be if a yid would sample the milk? Not the government. Let's say if I would go ahead and sample milk and decide, through my sampling I've determined that this is not that this is cow's milk. Would that be enough to make a chalkas? If I went to Bangladesh and I went over there and I sampled the milk and I said, yeah, this is really cow's milk, would that be good enough? He says, no, it wouldn't be. He says, I don't think it would be good enough. So how can I rely on a government that their whole basis is because of sampling?
What's the point with the first prayer about the Chalkas Yaakov? What it says, what do you
call
Shishmar?
It's an interfere. That Gemara is saying, why would they have made a Gzeret in the first place?
Right.
If there's no sense to it, if there's no sense, we wouldn't make a Gzeret. But now if there is a Gzeret, the Gzeret might require better than just sampling. I'm not going to answer you because it's going to be Richard's going to be in two times when we talk about whether you could do video monitoring. That's where the shadows really going to come up. Or whether you have to whether this kind of sampling works. We're not going to have time to do all of it, but there are five variations of how people say argue on the second part. Okay, the second thing Rabbi said was. It isn't an anatali, but the second part is, and an anatali is good enough to make a chol v'shoch. Okay, so I count five variations of how people argue on that part. Okay, a number of them are not arguing on the theory of it. They're arguing on, so to speak, on the facts on the ground. There being many riyas that even though you have a riyah like an anatali, it doesn't work. So they're not explaining why. Ramesh has this whole pile of riyas that an anatali's work all over the place. They say, I don't know what to tell you. Here's a whole bunch of riyas that it's not working. Okay, even it goes to the point that the Zakan Aaron, when he talks about it, Mamash describes it. He says even though there's emas hadin hakasha harovitz akol mezayim shoyra. Okay, he says even so, it's a takana, You know, so he's not even bringing a riot. Others bring riots from the Ramah, bring riots from three different places that these kind, what would usually work in Kalatari Kul, doesn't work over here. So among the explanations they give, that they're not really explaining why it's not an Atzahadi, but they say, for example, there are riots that for certain very important things, the Chachamim were extra machbid. And they had special rules of what kind of riot you have to bring. They made extra strict rules for certain things. And milk is such a crucial food that Chacham chose to make an extra strong rule over here. Okay, that's not really explained in that time. They're just sort of saying it's a special Xeris HaKosov, it's a drabana. Others say, they bring from Chacham Tzvi, that when we try to judge how good of a riot something is, we have umdunas, we have umdunas demuchachs, we have yediyah brurahs, we have ansahadis, we have all these different levels, and at this point in history, we're not so sophisticated enough to understand that. We don't really, can't judge whether something is a little like this or a little like this. So the Chachamim, looking to the future, that people would get, there'd be very, you know, ambiguous cases, and people wouldn't know, should they be makos, should they be makos, is this a idea, or is this just an idea? How exactly, where does it classify? Chacham said, no, we don't want any problems over here, everyone has to eat, the yid has to actually watch it. Don't make riyas that would usually work in Kalatari Kul, you have to use only this very specific riyas, that's what we had in mind, okay? And we're going to hear, Emir Tashem, next time, that exact concern that people would stretch the idea of what's considered a raya and what's considered an atzahadi. We're going to mamash hear about that. Richardson, that's next time, is to talk about modern day examples of people stretching these ideas to even to cases that are really very questionable. Okay, and we're not going to go through his points, but the Chalkas Yaakov in what I think is mamash like the heart of his tshuva goes mamash point by point through what Ramosha says, and every one of his rayas he says why it's either not a raya, why that's a very special thing in that case. He goes through every single case of why this case, that's the reason why the Chacham said it, or it's not true. He mamash goes like point by point to each one of the rayas of Moshe brings to say why he thinks that an Atzahadi in this kind of a case would not be good enough. Okay? So we've heard, Ramosha has his reason to say why it's an Atzahadi. We quickly ran through these other reasons people had to say we're not comfortable that relying on an Atzahadi over here, and that's end up being sort of, we'll call it a machlokes as to whether you can eat Cholstam or you shouldn't eat Cholstam. Okay, now, but really, we need to understand where Ramosha said a drop further. And when once we hear this, go through this explanation, I think we'll find out that a lot of the things that the people said actually are not as strong as they thought it was. Okay, when we get a better understanding of what Ramesha really meant, or what I think he really meant, he doesn't. What I'm about to say is, based on, you'll hear what I'm saying, I don't see it in the tshuva itself, but it helps me understand what he says, and if we understand that, a lot of these points are not as strong after you hear that. And that's what it is. We have to just ask a few questions. If you went over to someone in the street and said to them, do you think that the milk in your container is really from a cow? They say, of course it is. Hey, why do you think so? Why do you think that the milk is there is from a cow? They're not going to say, because the government does oversight. They're going to say, of course not, because then everybody milks in America is cows. Nobody milks anything else. If they milk anything else, some Meshuggah milks it, he sells that strange milk. Why do Ramesh need to say that the government oversight is what makes the Nansahadi? You don't need government oversight for what was he trying to add by that? That there was government oversight to make that Nansahadi. It's not Nansahadi. Everybody knows that the cow's milk is cow's milk. It's just like just anything else that you have a confidence. You walk into the store and you see something with, not in every case, but we live in a kind of a society where we look at things and we say, that's what people are doing. Milk is even more so because there's a zillion cows in America. I forgot how many there are. I had the statistics. How many cows there are and how much milk they're making from it and how easy it is to make cow's milk. Of course, no one's putting in horse's milk.
Like Rabbi Schwartz
said, right? Yeah, so why do Ramesh need to say that? What was his point in throwing in the thing about the government oversight to the point that in the second tshuva, the person wrote back to him and said to him, you really mean this government oversight? He says, you know what the fines are? It's a little, almost like a slap on the wrist to the guy. That counts also? Ramesh says, yeah, that's good enough. So what do you need to get into that? That people should, so to speak, nitpick on whether the government is good oversight or not good oversight? It seems like the people have, if you want to say it's an Nansahadi, everybody knows that it's cow's milk. How does everybody know that? Because of course it is. It's partial. The kind of society we live in makes us feel like that, not because of the government per se. It's not Emas Hadin, Harovitz, or whatever the other person said.
Well, that could have been deceived originally why we think that way, that since we know the government.
Okay, maybe that could be.
Help you any outside.
Right,
which is something because you need the eyes seeing it.
Right. Okay, so the I mentioned last time. The Beis Meir says that the Beis Meir asked the question. He says, how could the Prichodesh say that there's such an example of a city that doesn't have a Dover Tummy? Every city's got cows in it, has horses in it. There's no such thing as a city with no Dover Tummy. So what was the explanation? What did the Prichodesh mean? What's the Machlekes about? What's the case that they're arguing about? The case they're arguing about is where there's no animals in the city that anybody would find reasonable to milk. People living in Iowa, in Milwaukee, they don't think of milking horses. It doesn't occur to them that a horse is a milkable item. In their mind, all you milk is cows, so there's nothing within reason. That is to say, the machlokes is not in a case where there's no trace milk. It's where the machlokes is in a case where there is trace milk, but it's like so far fetched that it would get mixed in that it has in a certain way we would say there's no trace milk around. But there is trace milk. Not like the Gemara's case, where the corral only has kosher animals. There are straight milk around, but it's not there. So, the Chacham Sodom, who argues on the Prichodesh, he doesn't use his name, but he says he disagrees with what the Prichodesh says the following. He says, the amount of beer that we have, that they're only using cow's milk, would be good enough for all dini hatarim. For all regular dinim, that much beer is good enough. The way we would say it, in the way we talk, we would say is that there isn't a mere hamotzi of people putting in treif milk, and therefore, if the regular dini hatara, we would not have to be choshesh that happens. That's how we would classify. He doesn't use those words, but the idea is it's so remote that the dini hatara would tell us not to be worried about. However, the chacham made a takana. The takana is don't rely on those regular rules, and the chacham sodom says, and therefore, if there's any possibility that there's treif milk in there, even if it's far fetched, you still have to be choshesh. He says, but that's different than Gvinis Yisrael. We're going to get to Gvinis Yisrael. The Gvinis Yisrael, the Takana of Gvinis Yisrael is even stricter. The Takana of Gvinis Yisrael is that even if you're 100% sure that they use kosher rennet, you're still not allowed to use it. And look, this Takana is, if there's any possibility, you have to eat Chol of Yisrael. If there's no possibility, you don't have to eat it. As opposed to Gvinis Yisrael, where even if there's no possibility to use
non-kosher rennet,
treif rennet, you're still not allowed to eat it. Okay, so he's machalic between... I'll tell you in a second. He's machalic between Chol Yisrael and Gvinis Yisrael. That Chol Yisrael is, Chacham said, don't, even if it's far-fetched, you still have to be choshesh. But if it's impossible, then you don't have to be choshesh. Okay? That's different than Gvinis Yisrael. So now, if we go back 100 years ago, okay, We go back to the situation where the Chassidim is dealing with 100 years ago. I know he lived more than 100 years ago, but for our purposes, we go back 100 years ago, and we're dealing with a situation. We deal with the situation that he was living with. Was there treif milk around? Yeah, of course there was treif milk. There were horses. Of course there were horses. That means they got to work. You know, they got on the horse. Of course there was treif milk around. So was it possible that somebody, that treif milk got mixed in? Of course it was possible. It was far-fetched. So we would say is 99% sure we could be that there was no, that they did not mix in treif milk. We couldn't be 100% because the treif milk was still around. But 99% we could be. Takanas Chacham is, even if you're 99% sure, and in Din HaTorah you would be way overboard, you'd for sure be allowed to eat it. In this case, the Chacham said to be machmir. But comes along the government oversight, and comes along the small fines, the fact that the government could theoretically close a person down and take a strong hand on a person who cheated. And the Mela, that's what pushes us from being 99% sure to making us 100% sure. We don't need the government to be a raya that he didn't use cow's milk. We're basically there on our own, but 99%, we all know, we're all comfortable that the person is using cow's milk, because what else would he use? And no one even dreamed that he uses horse's milk in there. The government oversight is, like Ramosha talks about it, that the person, if he ever had a havamina to make this big collusion, to get everybody together, to slip in some treif milk, what would stop him from doing that last little thing, that possibility of this big scheme to cheat everybody, is the government looking over his shoulder. So the what the government is doing is making it 100% sure, and the Chacham Zalman says that according to the Chassam Sofer, if you'd be 100% sure, that would be a key of the Takanos Chachamim. The Takanos Chachamim is not that a Yid should watch it. The Takanos Chachamim is that a Yid should be 100% sure. That usually means that Yid has to watch it, because there's even a tiny possibility that's enough to answer. Okay? So I'll throw in here, for those of you who are keeping score, the Etzem, it's not really 100% sure. Okay? I don't think that you need to be 100% sure. Because if I have to say you have to be 100% sure, then you'll respond back to me, there was once one Meshuggah in Lexington, and this is what he did, and that's the end of the 100% sure. Okay? So the truth is, Rabbi Schachter says in his article about what he wrote about tuna fish, that really there's no place in the Torah that a person is required to be 100% sure. Okay? And he brings, the Chassam Sofer himself says, that if something happens only once in 1,000, that doesn't count even for a mayor who's choshesh lemuta, even the most machmir, even choshesh for sakana, even things like that, even 1 in 1,000 never ever counts that you have to be choshesh for it. It's so far-fetched that even for any din hatar, you're not mechuyev to count for it. So that is to say is that we're not looking to be 100%. To be 100% you have to be, I mean, it's really beyond 99.9%. But we aren't, and 100% means I can knock you off with one story that happened, otherwise that's the end of your 100%. And some of these posts can bring, you know, their horror stories of what happened to people. So we only have to be 99%. I believe that you only need to be 99.9%. Okay. So one funny thing is, of course, is that if you're listening, is that it comes out that, in my way of thinking, the OU's two most famous coolers, Chol Stam and Tuna Fish, are L'Shitasei. Right? Now it comes out they're L'Shitasei, because they're two totally one another. Okay, so for those people who don't like them, for both of those reasons, because the Chassam Sofer would say you have to be 99% sure who was matzah the tuna fish, and now also being matzah the Chol Stam also. Okay.
That's a whole different reason. I see it.
Okay. Now, I do have to tell you, in honesty, that what Rav Schachter said, that the Chassam Sofer says 1 in 1,000 doesn't count, is not fully accurate. It's not exactly what the Chassam Sofer says. The Chassam Sofer is talking about, should you be choshesh if a person is declared dead, should you be choshesh that he's really alive, and he might wake up. And therefore, don't bury him too quickly, because he might wake up, and he might not be dead yet. Okay, that's what he's talking about. So the Chassam Sofer says, the possibility, the fact that once in 1,000 years, somebody wakes up after we thought he was dead, that doesn't make a difference. You don't have to be choshesh for that possibility. Okay, so once in 1,000 years, someone waking up, okay, according to a historian who I spoke to, there were about 7,000 Yidden living in Pressburg when the Chassam Sofer was alive. Okay? So if you're only talking about the Yidden, and only in that city, it would come out that once in 1,000 years would be 100,000 people. Okay, so it's 1 in 100,000, not really 1 in 1,000. Okay, so what the numbers of
the people. The number 1,000, Rabbi Shapta is the number 1,000.
The Chassam says, if once in 1,000 years a person wakes up, that doesn't mean anything. And Rabbi Shapta says, he's saying that the 1 in 1,000 chance is not, you don't have to be choshish for.
1,000 chance, that's a lot.
No, so I'm saying is,
did you ask him that?
No, I didn't ask him that. So 1 in 1,000 chance is not what the Chassam says. The Chassam says it's 1 in 100,000 chance. So it's not exactly the same. 1 in 1,000 years is not 1 in 1,000 times, right? And we don't even know the Chassam was in the Pressburg. I mean, 1 in 1,000, of course, for the readers of this Ma'amal know that there are lots of people who have woken up dead. Okay, for those of you who read
readers
this Ma'amal, who woke up who they thought were dead. They collected every story that ever happened in, you know, in history. But the Chassam says 1 in 1,000 is not exactly what it was. Okay, so here we go. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So so it comes out that where Moshe is saying, it's really in the Chacham Sadon and the Beis Meir, both Chacham Sadon and Beis Meir both say that if we had a raya 100% sure that the milk was coming from a yid, we would not have to have a yid watching it. It came from a cow. We would not have to have a person watching it. That's what he says. Both the Beis Meir and the Chacham Sadon are saying that, and I believe that's what Moshe means to make with the government oversight. And it could be that many of the riots that people brought to what the many of the riots that the Prichadosh brought to say what he was right, that you don't need to have a riot, you don't need to have a Takanas Chacham, that it's not a Takanas Chacham. Those riots really are what drives the Chacham Sadon to say that Chol Yisrael and Gvinis Yisrael are not the same. Remember last time we spoke about the Prichadosh had riots that it's not a Takanas Chacham. So those riots, what these people are understanding is, it's not true. Really, this is Takanas Chacham. What about all his rayas? They just help us understand what kind of Takanah it is. It's not like the Takanah of Gvinis Yisrael, that even if it's 100%, you have to have a yid there. But this is you have to get it to 100%. Well, maybe that was too complicated. Yeah. And I have to just make one last point, which is, what I told you, that the Chacham Sadon says, that the Takanah of Chol Yisrael is not like Gvinis Yisrael, we have to mention that the Kesem Mishnah said not like that. Okay, the Kesem Mishnah that I mentioned beforehand, who says that it's a takana of Chol Yisrael, he says it's exactly like Venus Yisrael, he sure sounds like that's what he means, that it's exactly like Venus Yisrael, that even if you're 100% sure, you still have to do it. But so that's, so to speak, another reason to argue on this. But I believe the Ramesh is saying, based on the Chacham Sadon and the Beis Meir, who both say that if you're 100% sure, then you don't need to get to watch.